Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Daf Chof Zayin, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah at the top of the daf. And our question today revolves around how can we actually identify a get that is found? So I may be a get. Let's say that you're a shliach. There's a shliach bringing a get to deliver to the guy, to his wife, and he loses the get, and he finds it immediately. Mitzo'o la'alt. We'll have to define what immediately means, but if he found it immediately, then he's allowed to take for granted that the one that he found can be delivered, because, I mean, otherwise, if he wasn't absolutely certain, how does he know that it isn't a get that we've been discussing over the past couple of pages, a get that was written for somebody by the same name, for a woman of the same name, and this is not the get that will actually achieve the gerushin of this woman, because it was written in Shema. So you can see how this is the obvious next issue that we're going to have to deal with, because since you're saying that a get is not on its face necessarily kosher, even if everything is written properly, because the entire idea, according to Rabbi Elazar, is that it needs to be written lishma, how in the world could you be certain that if you can't see it and you don't have a lishma detector to pass over it, how in the world would you know just because, well, it looks the same, it smells the same, but how do you know that it is the same? Because after all, it needs to have this indefinable and indetectable lishma to it. So the mission, of course, is going to need to define in what way you have a right to rely on that kind of thing, and therefore the Gemara is going to have to be getting into the details over here of what do we mean when we say you found it immediately, what are the circumstances, and so on. Mim lav pasul. But if it isn't found immediately, then you would have no way of being sure that it's the same get just because it adds up to be the same get because of the names in it, and so on. Now, how about if you found the get in a type of container, in a hafisa or in a dluska? We'll discuss what the difference is between these containers, but the point is that if you do recognize that, then, of course, you can rely that, well, the get that I dropped, how in the world would another get have gotten into my briefcase? That, of course, you can rely on, and then you wouldn't have to be immediately. Or there may be ways where you could actually recognize the get itself. Imakiro is not referring back, according to Rashi, to the chafisa, to the gluskema. It's a new halacha. And that if you find a get that you recognize, talk about what that level of recognition would be, then you can rely on that, even lizman meruba, and you'd be able to use it. Ask the Gemara. Now, this idea of relying on something like this, now obviously what we're going to be dealing with over here has a lot to do with the issue in Bava Metzia, right? In other words, we come to identify something. We find something, we come to identify it in order to be able to give it back, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, and things like that. So the definition over there in Bava Metzia clearly is going to be very relevant to our sugya, as to how we can positively identify something. So let's take a look at the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, where it says there, Braminu, Matzagi te nashi. So if somebody finds a get that was written as a divorce, or Shichrurei Avadim, which was written in order to free a slave, or he finds Daitaki. Daitaki is actually a Greek word, which is last will and testament, which we understand by turning it into an acronym. We take it as a Hebrew word or an Aramaic word, which is the din of a special halach of Shkibmira, namely, da tehe kayam v'koy. This particular thing, being as the man says it, even if it's done without the regular type of kinyan, we have the special halacha of a Shkibmira. So we call that document a da tehe. Or a regular matana, or shovrim, you have a receipt for something, you find this. Now, I have no idea whether, I mean, this is a really difficult situation, because I don't know whether these fell before they were issued, whether they fell from the person to whom they were issued, whether they fell from the person who had gotten them back. For instance, let's say it was a get of a woman, and the man had given this get, and then she had used the get to demand payment of her ketuvah in court. The court was mechayev the guy to pay the ketuvah, and they gave him the get back as a shomer, basically. So how do I know that that didn't happen? Anything could happen over here. The guy may have changed his mind and never given her the get. He may have given her the get and fell from her. He may have given her the get, and she had given it back to him as a shomer, and it fell from him. I mean, so we cannot actually know what to do with it. You can't give it to the people that are in them, because Shani Omer, Ketuvima, you look. I mean, they were obviously written, maybe for the purpose, but maybe the husband, let's say, wrote this get, or the owner wrote this get to an Eved, you know, and then changed his mind, and he never gave it. And maybe he was the one who lost it, in which case, if you give it to the woman, so then, good heavens, she'll use this as a get, even though he never gave her the get. You know, that's also possible. And even though normally we say that a woman who says to her husband, you were begarish me, she's neman, because enisha me'iza paneha beba'ala, but that's not true where she has something to rely on, like this contract that we give to her. So this could be a disaster. And therefore, we have no idea whether they actually remained in effect. Even at Daitiki, remember, if the man who was ill and dying changed his mind at the last moment, he has a right to change his mind at any point. So how do we know? A guy writes a receipt. Maybe he wrote the receipt hoping that the man was going to pay him. Wouldn't give him the money unless he had a receipt. He had the receipt made and the guy never paid him. I mean, so there's no way for us to know what to do with this, because we could be extremely damaging no matter to whom we return it. So therefore, the Mishnah says that we can't return it. Now, but suppose whatever the document was, the writer of that document, let's say it's a get of a woman, the writer of the document then being the husband, it's the Shikrur Efanim, the writer of the document being the master. So suppose he would say, oh, it's okay, this was definitely, I did read it, write this, and I definitely did not change my mind, and then there wouldn't be any problem of actually utilizing them, because he says, oh, okay, this is fine. This is fine. So if that would be the case, if it's fine, we would actually be able to give it. That's what you're saying, right? And that doesn't limit us in any way. It doesn't say if you found it right away. So, I mean, basically, the chiddush would be that if the guy says there's no problem on my part, so then we would still have a right to assume that this is actually the correct document. And we would be able to use this get. Now, how do we know it's the same document? I mean, it's all very nice that he says, I didn't change my mind about the document that I wrote. But after all, our Mishnah says that you can't be sure that it is that document. So what good is it for him to say, it's okay, I didn't change my mind? So then we have a contradiction between the two Mishnayos. Omar Rabba, you're right. But obviously, the context is going to define the difference. Lokash. Our Mishnah, where it says you must find it right away or else you have to worry that it fell from someone else, that's talking about where a chashash like that, that it fell from someone else, is reasonable. And what makes it reasonable is that it wasn't found in some out-of-the-way place. It was found in a place where shayarot or mitziyot. Let's say you find it next to the gas pump, you know. There were 100 cars that passed here. Anybody could have taken out his credit card. And as he took out his credit card, he dropped what was in his pocket. And he dropped a document that is the same as the document that you lost. So what makes you think that this is your document? That's what Armish is talking about. So if shayarot or mitzuyot, there we have to be afraid. And unless you found it immediately, now of course the immediately is going to have to deal with this problem. So the Gemara is going to define immediately in a way that means that no one could have been there during that amount of time that you had lost the Gedin. But that we'll get to later. But the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, which is mashma, that whenever you find it, if the writer of the get, in the case of the Gedisha, the Baal, said that, no, it's perfectly okay, I wasn't Nimlach, so that's talking about where we have every right to assume that it is the correct document, because it's a place where, how the heck would another of get have gotten to this place where nobody ever goes by here hardly? And, says the Gemara, you should know that even though Rabbah mentioned the difference of Mokom Shashayarot Mitzuyot, we happen to know that there were other issues that Rabbah had taken into consideration. Because, as we'll prove to you, the only halacha that Rabbah says over here that you cannot give it back if it was b'makom shashayarot mitzuyot is only where we know that there were actually two people of the same name in that location. So hushul huziku shnei Yosef ben Shimon bi'ir achat. So let's say it says in the city of Yerushalayim. We know that there were two people of that name, Yosef and Shimon, and they have the same name, wives. But otherwise, it's ridiculous. I mean, even if a lot of people pass by, you're trying to tell me that even though we never heard of anybody that lives in this city, because the name of the city is mentioned, right? There's no one else in the city of the same name. We're going to be choshed that there's somebody that we never heard of that has the same name, with a wife the same name, who just happened to be the guy that passed by that same gas station. So therefore, when it is that Rava said this halacha, you should know that Rava was only talking about where there were also a chazaka, that there were Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, who had wives by that name, that are in the same city that the get is taking place on. So, okay, so if that's the idea, you have a chashad. But otherwise, you don't have any chashad. I'll prove it to you. Even though Rabbah didn't bother saying it right now, but for sure that's true. Because if you're not going to take for granted that the case that Rabbah was referring to, where we need to worry about another identical get with the same names and so on, just because of the fact that people are driving by, if you believe that, and we don't need a chazakah, that there were people of that name, we're going to end up with an impossible to answer contradiction of one psak of Rabbah with another psak of Rabbah, and therefore I have no choice but to say that actually he had taken that into consideration and assumed that you would understand it. Because I'll tell you what the other case was. There was a maisa once where I would get the shtakach beidina de Ravuna. So Ravuna had a bezdin where people would come from all over for all kinds of purposes, and they found there a get in his bezdin. Obviously, someone had dropped the get in the actual courtroom, and in that get, it said, in the town of Shviri, on the Rochis Nahara, on the Rochis River, and it had the name of the people in it, and the shliach came and said, oh my gosh, I can't find the get that I had brought here to the bezin, it dropped. And we find this, and this is the get he's looking for. And Ravuna said, you can't use that get. Because, well, what do you mean? Why can't we use the get if nobody ever heard of anybody by that name in the town of Shviri? Says Ravuna, well, the reason you can't rely on it is because you never know. There may be an alternative universe in which there's another town called Shviri, in which there are two people, another person by this name. As a matter of fact, maybe the other person by this name is the same person of this name in this universe. But in any event, being, as I, Ravuna, am a strong believer in the multiple universe explanation of quantum mechanics, there might be another Shviri. Who knows? That is wild. Okay. So you never know, there may be another Shviri on the Rochis River. Now, Rav Chisda warned Rabbah that when these kind of things happen, Ravuna generally checks his opinions over, you know, and he speaks to the other Chachamim in there. So Rav Chisda tells Rabbah, listen, you better spend the night researching this, you know, because spend the day, I mean, researching this, because tonight he's going to be after you and he's going to be asking you, so what do you hold? Do you have any riots about it? So go spend the day researching it. So pork vayenba, go out and research. The Lourta Bayla Minak Ravuna. Ravuna's going to want to have some answers. Anyway, so sure enough, Rabba goes out and he's medayik in all kinds of anything that sounds similar, and he indeed finds, not fakdakli hashka, he finds a mocker in the Mishnah Bav Metzia. Mishnah Bav Metzia says that kol ma'aseh beidin, anything that you find that is an act of bezdin, what makes it an act of bezdin? If it would have a handpick on it, right? So then that means somebody brought it into the bezdin in order to have it mekuyam. Well, I mean, who's going to have it mekuyam? Obviously, the person who wants to use it to be toveya. So a lender is going to want to have it mekuyam. She can go after the borrower. The borrower is not going to have it mekuyam. So anything which is a maisa of bezdin, you should give it back. Because there's no reason to assume that it was anything but a kosher document that was actually in the court for purposes of kiyum. The court was mekayim it, so we know that these are the correct aiding, and only the malva would have brought it. So mamela, you don't have to worry about it, and you can give it back. So based on this, he tells Ravuna, you shouldn't have to worry about it, because this is found as a maisa bezdin. Now, I don't understand, says the Gemara. If you think that this stands up to scrutiny, you got a problem, because Rabba, remember, had told us that the difference between where you can rely on finding something and where you cannot, unless it was instantaneous that you found it, is only where it's a mokum she'ena shayorot mitsuyo, right? Where it's not other people passing by. Now, the bezdin of Ravuna is like one of the most public places in the world. I mean, if there's any place that you're going to find another contract, it's right there in the bezdin of Ravuna, where everybody's bringing their contract. I'm going to forget about a gas station. I mean, so over there, that would be a total violation of Rabba's own psak. Because the Beit Din in Ravuna is certainly a mokum shayarot mitzuyot. And Rabba's saying, doesn't matter, you can give it back. How can you give it back? So obviously, there's got to be another element that has to be taken into consideration, namely Alma. How can you give it back? You're going to say, well, because I mean, it's already Mekuyim Bezdin. What does that have to do with anything? It may be somebody else's contract. I don't care if it's Mekuyim Bezdin. So what are you saying? Give it back to him because we don't have to worry about his changing his mind, and that's not the issue. Maybe it's not the same contract. Didn't Rabba say that if there's a lot of people around, that it might be the same name? Ella, obviously, it must be that the only time that Rabba actually suggested that was where we know that there was someone of that name. And therefore, in this case, where we didn't have a Huchziku, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, we are not concerned for it being a similar contract in an alternative universe in which there's another Shviri. Okay, that's the point. So if not, if there wasn't no Zikur Shnei Yosef and Shimon, then Rabba would never have only made the distinction in terms of Shayarot Mitzuyot. So now we're saying we have two different elements we need to take into consideration. If both of them would be a problem, it would be a Mokum Shayarot Mitzuyot, and therefore might have fallen from someone else. And there exists an individual in that town from whom it indeed might have fallen. Okay, so then we're worried. But if not, if we don't have both of those things, we don't have to worry. And in fact, Rabba, there was an actual case of Ovad Rabba Uvda, Bahugita Tishtakra Pekitam Bapumpadita. So there was this. Now, we're not quite sure what this means. Bekitna means a place of linen, right? And what does that mean? It might mean a place where they process linen, might mean a place where they sell linen, maybe it's the garment workers section. It isn't clear to us what that means, and it's going to make a big difference. And he paskin there, according to his own shita, that you should give it back, which we just said. Now, What's crucial is to figure out what precisely the context is here of the Bay Kitna. So some say that a Bay Kitna is a place where they actually are manufacturing linen, and so they have these soaking pits there, which is what you need to do to the raw flax in order to have the enzymes break down the hard coating to allow you to get at the threads. That place stinks to high heaven. So you certainly don't have a lot of people going by there. Why in the world would people go by there? And therefore, the case over there was that he was matir giving it, even though Afakav d'Ruzik u'shnei Yosef ben Shimon. And the reason that he was matir it was because of the other element that he demands, namely, that I'm only nervous about it falling where other people are generally to be found. They would be driving by there. My Shane came over here in a Bay Kitna where you're soaking it. People would not be actually driving by. So therefore, even though it was a mokum where Huzik u'shnei Yosef ben Shimon, but lo shrikha shiyarta, others learned that the case was that it's the linen market. It was a linen market, and Dafka, that's the place where everybody's coming. And he was matir utilizing it, even though everybody was coming. Why? Like the other thing that he had clearly taken into consideration, as we proved, namely, since there was no chazak of Shnei Yosef and Shimon, therefore, even though Shrich and Shayarot, obviously people come from all over to the fair where they sell the linen, nonetheless, there's no chashash. Okay, so this now explains, according to Rabbah, what appears to be a contradiction of our Mishnah that only allows you to make the assumption that it's the same document if it's found instantly, which we need to define what instantly means, and the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, which doesn't make any stipulation about how long it is and only wants you to be certain that the individual who wrote it is still in favor of your delivering it, and therefore you're not going to be causing any damage. So that this, even in the worst possible situation, will say, use it as the get, to give it to the actual person, and say, okay, fine, so we'll divorce you with this get. Okay, now Rabbi Zeira had the same problem, but interestingly enough, Rabbi Zeira did not ask the question from the Mishnah Bava Metzia, like Rabbah did. Rabbi Zeira asked what he assumed to be the same contradiction. He asked it based on a braita for some reason, instead of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Zeira, Rami Matnitin HaBraita U'Mishaneh, and he gave the answer as he gave it. Not here it says in our Mishnah, maybe get vavade menu only if matzola alter it kosher. Whereas for Amini, what are you going to do about the braita that says that if a guy stam finds a get isha b'shuk, now, he has no idea how long it's been there, right? He just found it. He didn't lose it. So, bismancha ba'al modeh. So, if the husband says, yes, yes, I wrote this get, it should be given to her. So then, indeed, yachzir le'isha, because that way, even if the Baal had lost it before she ever got it, if you give it to her now in front of Aiden, so now it will be a get. Because he's made it. He wanted to be a megarisher with this. So, no problem. Give it to her. Ina ba'al modeh. But then, if he does not say, well, no, I wrote this get, you can't give it to either of them. Lo yachzir lo lezeh, lo lezeh. You can't give it to the husband, because what if he had actually already divorced her? She had gone to court and sued for ksuva, utilizing the divorce. The court was b'chai of him to pay the ksuva. And he said, well, I don't want to keep a receipt. I want her to give me back the get so she can't sue me again. And they gave him back the get, right? So now, how do I know in that event that if we return it to her, that's going to be a mess. And if we return it to the Baal, it could be that he's going to claim that he wanted it. And that way he can claim that it was given back to him because he paid, which would be cheating her. So, I mean, it's a disaster. So, therefore, if he's Maida, so you can divorce her with it. But if he's not Maida, you can't give it to either of them. Now, My problem, says Rabbi Zeira, is that it's clear from this braita that if the husband says it's okay, so then give it to her. You have no idea how long ago it was lost, right? So the braita apparently is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can only assume it's the same document if you found it right away. And over here, if the guy says, I did write this get, you can assume it's the same document a year later when you found it. You have no idea when it was that it was lost. So how do you explain the braita in light of our Mishnah? And Rabbi Zeira gives the same apparent answer, at least as the part that Rabbi said, Beferish. He answered that our Mishnah is talking about a place where it could have fallen from someone else. Makom shashayarot mitzuyot. And the braita was talking about where it was just found somewhere out of the way, and therefore it was a makom shena shayarot mitzuyot, and we don't have to worry that it just looks like the same get with the same names. Now, it's not clear from Rabbi Zeira. I mean, remember, Rabbah, we know, took into consideration two issues. First of all, the shayarot mitzuyot, and then based on the story of his interaction with Rav Huna at the time of the loss of the shtar in the Bezdin of Rav Huna, we know that he took into consideration also the question of whether there's a chazaka of Shnei Yosef and Shimon. We don't have an equivalent proof of what Rabbi Zeira holds. Does Rabbi Zeira agree that there are two things that need to be present in order for us to be worried about it being someone else's get? Or is he really saying that as long as Shairot Mitzuyot, even if we don't have the chazaka, well, that's a machlokas. Some say, Ikari Amri, that the only time that Rabbi Zeira said you need to worry about Shairot Mitzuyot is where there was also a chazaka of Shnei Yosef and Shimon. And there, and only there, is when you should not give that get back, which would mean that he agrees 100% with the Rabbah. But some say that Rabbi Zeira never said that you need to worry about the Hoxiku. And he said that even if there's just a chance that it fell from someone else, though we have no reason to assume that there was someone by that name, you still have to worry. And Avagav de lo hulzaku, you shouldn't give it back, in which case Rabbah and Reb Zeira would be arguing. Because Rabbah would be saying, you need to have strong grounds for worrying about this. And Reb Zeira says, no, you need to worry about it, even if it might have fallen from someone else, without having any basis for worrying that there's another person of that name. Now, it's a little bit strange because, I mean, if you have an option of asking from a Mishnah on a Mishnah, wouldn't that be what you'd want to do in order to bring out your answer? Because, I mean, a Mishnah on a Mishnah is obviously needs to be explained. I mean, a Mishnah on a Braisa, throw out the Braisa, you know? I mean, so why did Rabbi Zeira go and ask from a Mishnah on a Braita in order to express the difference, which is very important, because by making this contradiction, he's proving that this distinction is important, lahalacha, about mokum shashayarot mitzuyot. I mean, I'd much rather prove that from a contradiction between Mishnayas than asking from a Mishnah on a Braita, or actually a Braita from a Mishnah. So I understand why Rabbah would not have wanted to take the approach of Rabbi Zeira to ask from a Braita, because, I mean, I'd much rather ask from a Mishnah in order to achieve the psak from the contradiction of Mishnayos must be that there's a difference between Mokum Shasharot Mitzvot. So Mas Nisin, obviously, Ra'alimele Lakshri. A much more powerful question, which is a much more powerful proof of my solution, is to ask from a Mishnah. Why would Rabbi Zeira want to go to a Braita when he could have asked the same question and offered the same solution, which would have been Nogea more provable halacha, he could have done that from the two Mishnayas. Amalacha, Rabbi Zeira says, well, I really did not believe that we could make the diuk that Rabbah makes from that Mishnah. I mean, it says in the Mishnah what it says. It doesn't say that if the husband said tnu, that you could necessarily give it a filizman merubah. That was his way of reading. But, I mean, maybe the Mishnah in Bava Metzia took for granted that the reader was aware of the Mishnah here in Gittin and understood that. Obviously, this is only in the context where we don't have to worry about the invisibility of the Lishma. And for that, we would really need for it to be immediate. I mean, he was talking about general dinim, of returning things that you find. I mean, the special concepts that would apply to discovering whether a contract that looks the same, smells the same, reads the same, whether it is the same because of a new indefinable quality that is found only by Gittin, for that, Rebbe was relying on your reading the Mishnah over here in Gittin. So I don't think that you could jump to conclusions and say that no matter how much time has passed, maybe all the Mishnah was saying is that if the husband said to Nu, you can give it to her, but give it to her under the proper context where you know that it's the same document, get a kind of one, like it says over here, namely, La Alter. You'd have to be absolutely certain. It's not like other contracts, maybe. So therefore, I'd rather ask from the Braita. Now, the truth is that the approaches of Rabba and Rebbe Zera, where they believe that they have absolute proof that we need to make this distinction of a difference between Mokom Shashayarot Mitzuyot, as we've proven, between Mokom Shehusik Ushnei Yosef and Shimon. There's other alternatives, you know, and it's not really as solid a proof as you might think, because I can say that there may be other elements that would differentiate between the circumstances of the Mishnah in Bav Metzia and the circumstances of the Mishnah in Gittin, or the circumstances of the Braita. Here's some other approaches. Rabbi Yirmiya says, well, how about, if we're talking about a case where the witnesses would say, we have signed in our lifetime on only one contract with the name of a gentleman called Yosef ben Shimon. Now, we don't know who Yosef ben Shimon is or anything like that, but I can tell you one thing. There was no other contract like that. So, obviously, if you found it, then you could identify it on the basis of what it says, as opposed to needing some kind of magic lishma detector to determine that it can't have fallen from anybody else. There was no such other document. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Oh, well, that's ridiculous, is the Gemara. So then what's the Chiddush? I don't understand. I mean, obviously, but I would need to bring a proof for that from a contradiction. Mishnayos, no. Maila Memra. Well, what do you mean, Maila Memra? Didn't Rav Huna say that we're worried about alternative universes? I mean, maybe there's two Shviri cities? Well, I don't know. Maybe there's another universe in which there are two Adim by the names of these two same Adim who signed on another contract that was in the different Shviri with a different Yosef and Shimon. I mean, I don't know where you're going to draw the line if you're willing to be Chayshish for things that you don't know anything about. So, Ma'adah Tema, Lechash Dimisra Mishma Kishma. Maybe we've got the same thing. And Adim Ke Adim. Same name husband, same name wife, same name witnesses. Who knows? The Twilight Zone indeed. Kamash Malan, that we definitely are not Chayish. Okay, but then we couldn't prove that the issue would be specifically in terms of Huzik Ushna Yosef and Shimon or anything like that. Ravashi says, I got another explanation. I say that we may very well, in Bava Metzia, be referring to a case where the guy has a simen. Okay? I mean, that's common in Bava Metzia, right? So we're going to return it. So maybe it's talking about a case where the person who says, I dropped that get, can positively identify the get that he dropped by saying there was a hole in the parchment right next to a particular letter. And he tells you the letter on line 3, the letter Nun, and right next to it, there's a little hole. And if you identify this, that's the get that I dropped. So, I mean, if that's the case, it would be very consistent with the other dinim that we find in Bava Metzia. And maybe that's the point. So that is not just any old simon. That is called a simon muvhak. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. What exactly do we mean over here by a simon mufak? Why is it that we needed to say that it's talking about a simon mufak? Well, We know, or everybody thinks they know, that the Torah has said we need to give back an Aveda. Well, how in the world would we give back an Aveda if we weren't able to establish who lost the Aveda? So how do we establish who lost the Aveda? Undoubtedly, through somebody providing a proof that he dropped it because he can identify it, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. How do you know that the real issue over here has to do with his providing some kind of sign? Maybe the real issue is he has witnesses. How do you know that a person doesn't have to bring a witness that recognize this as being his own? And if he just told you, well, it looks like this and it weighs like this, maybe that wouldn't be enough. That is a machlokas above mitzvah, and it's called a machlokas, even though Gavi is currently involved in very important tefillahs in the Galil at Kivrei Tzadikim, but that doesn't mean he can't remember this particular issue. Simonim d'oraisa or simonim lav d'oraisa. This idea of returning something by giving a simon may be a derabbanan halacha, and simonim themselves are not reliable d'oraisa, except that the derabbanan said, look, it's almost impossible to be finding witnesses all the time, and therefore, in order to facilitate the dinim of Hashavas Haveda, actually, what we will do is allow people to return an Aveda based on a simon. How can they do that? Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So Bezdin is allowing this to be a sign of sufficient import. Now, if it comes to a get, now that's a whole different can of worms. I mean, it's one thing for the Rabbana to make a takana that has to do with monetary issues because of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. But that doesn't mean that the Rabbanan could say you can rely on this to give a woman a get. It's not mini-raisa reliable. Therefore, Rav Ashi needs to be talking about a case where we don't have any issue with this machlokas of simonim d'oraisa. That's the point. How could he do that? Very simple. He could say, we are talking about the type of situation where the simon is a simon muvak. A simon muvak, everybody agrees, is identification even on the basis of a d'oraisa. So by saying, look, on the third row in the fifth letter to the right side, there is a star-shaped hole. I mean, that is a simon muvak. And that is not just a plain simon like many of the things that we find above Metziah. And therefore, you can rely on that even in the d'oraisa to be able to give back a get, even if a normal simon, a simon that is not a muvak, would be only midrabbana. And why did he say this? Because he wasn't sure that it needs to be a simon muvak. But he would never have allowed you to return a get on the basis of there's a hole somewhere. There's a hole somewhere. You know, I mean, many gitim could have a hole somewhere. That he wouldn't have assumed is good enough to give a get. Why is that? Because misapkele simonim midiraita dirabbana. Rav Ashi wasn't sure whether simonim, meaning regular simonim, are reliable from on the basis of a d'oraisa in the din of Hashavas Aveda, in which case, that means that the Torah is telling you could rely on it as identification positive, and you could use it even for a get, or whether it's only a takana d'rabbanan, but the Torah itself would have demanded that you have witnesses. Okay, it's totally different ways of understanding the entire issue of hachroza for an Aveda, obviously, because you could not be machriz an Aveda and give it back based on a simon midiraisa, if you hold simonim lav diraisa, you would actually do the hachroza with the simon. In other words, you would say, if anyone lost a wallet with a big R on the left-hand corner embossed, bring witnesses and I will return it to you. So it would be a completely different din of Hashavas Aveda. Anyway, there was another baisa, Rabbi Bar Chana. He was bringing a get for someone, and he was a shliach, and he was in the Beis HaMedrash. He lost the get in the Beis HaMedrash. Couldn't find it. And They found it afterwards in the Beis HaMidrash. So Rabbi Bar Bachana said to them, listen, guys, you can give me back that get. Because, first of all, if you want a siman, I have a siman. If you want to rely on me based on Tfiyas Eina, easily begave, I have Tfiyas Eina. I'll talk about this in a moment. And based on that statement, they handed it back to him. Now, I have no idea whether the reason that they gave it back to him was because, as Rabbi Bar Chana said, I'm not sure whether Lo Yadani Mishum Simon Hadrua, did they give it back to me because I gave them the Simon? And they hold Simonim Ar D'Oraisa because I did not have a Simon Muvak, or they gave it back to me because it's Tfiyas Eina. And therefore, the only reason they gave it back to me is because I am Itzur Mimirabona. Let's discuss this for a moment, because, and here Gavi was going to have to interrupt just again, just for another moment, even though we're so grateful for him, but this Tfiyas Eina is a very, very important issue to be written down together with the idea of Simon Muvak, or Simonim D'Oraisa, Simonim Lav D'Oraisa. And what Tfiyas Ayin is, as the Gemara points out, let's say somebody asks you to, could you please call my friend, Mr. So-and-so, out of shul? I need to talk to him. Now, you don't know who Mr. So-and-so is, okay? He can give you a lot of simonim about Mr. So-and-so, and you won't find him, even though they're perfectly good simonim. Maybe there's somebody else that looks like that, or it's not clear enough to you. He's the guy wearing a straw hat with the orange polka dot glasses, you know? I don't know. You may find him, you may not find him. But if you know who Mr. So-and-so is, you will find him. And if we ask you, well, how did you identify Mr. So-and-so? What was he wearing? I don't remember what he was wearing. Well, how did you know it was Mr. So-and-so? What do you mean, how do I know it's Mr. So-and-so? I recognize Mr. So-and-so. Well, if you can't tell me how you recognize Mr. So-and-so, why should we believe that this is Mr. So-and-so? That is an absurd question. Because the blink elements of recognition are far more meaningful than any specific list of identifiers that you could provide. Isn't that true? So when it comes to returning an Aveda, if we would have a way of believing someone when he says, no, this is mine. I know, what are you, crazy? What do you mean, how do I know it's mine? I don't know it's mine. Same way you know your hat is yours. Your talus is yours. How do you know? I don't know how you know. The problem with that, with Tfiyas Eina, is obviously, can we trust you? Of course we understand that you know, but why should we believe that you know? So therefore, when it comes to someone who is established as trustworthy and who is never Mishane B'diburo, which is what defines a Tzur B'Mirabonan in this particular din, so then you can rely on his Tfiyas Ayin more than you would rely on a normal siman. And therefore, he's saying, I'm not certain whether it was because they held simanim d'oraisa and they were semich on my normal siman, or whether it was because they trusted me as a Tzur B'Mirabanan and would never have returned it to someone else on this basis. Okay, now the Mishnah also says that if you don't find it right away, then you can't give it back. And what does that mean, right away? How do we define not right away? So Rabbi Nassim says, look, if it's been lost long enough for some car to have passed by or a caravan to have passed by and have stayed over, so Vatishra, that's what Rashi learns. Tosus learns Vatishra means to have made a picnic. So it's a lotion of picnicking, and the reason that we're worried is because, well, then you need to open your backpack, take out your stuff. Once you open your backpack, then it may have fallen out. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, that's not enough. It's Kadesh Adam Omeid V'ro'eh Sho'o Avar Sham Adam. It's not. You need to have somebody actually present there, and that present, it's not a question, a function of time. It means I know for a fact that no one has passed by here. That's the idea. And for that, I need to have at least an individual that can tell me, that can testify to that. And someone stood there and said, nobody's passed by here. And there's a Yesh Omrim that says that if there's somebody standing there and says that no other person was Shohesha, Nobody stayed over there. Rebbe says it's a shear in time. And the shear in time is as long as it takes to write a get. Now look, that has nothing to do with the case. Don't think that because we're involving in the time the get, that's the habit of the Gemara, is to give a shear that has a reference to something about what we're talking. It's not because we're afraid someone would write a get. That's ridiculous. It's just that the shear happens to be a reasonable variation of elements of get. That's all. And therefore, Acherim Omrim and Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, as long as it takes to read a get. Acherim Omrim, long enough to write it and to read it. But whatever the din is, it's what would be reasonable as a shear or an absolute proof as a shear, if you're talking about having someone there, that this has got to be the same one that was lost. And the truth is that, as the Mishnah says, even if it was there for a while, if you have simanim, so then you can still utilize those simanim to give back the get. And when we say simanim in this brisa, what do we mean? Nekev yeshbo betzad od plonit. It means a specific siman muvak. Ve'ein me'idim al simanei aguf. You can't just give simanim that are the kind of simanim that we're used to talking about when it comes to returning things above metzia, like simanei aguf. Well, it was a very long, thin kind of get. It was a pinkish colored parchment, stuff like that. That is not called a siman muvak. So if you say oroch, it's a long get, or it was a fat get, and it was very wide, that is not considered to be a siman. But if you found the get, kashur bekis, ba'arnakyu, betabat, it was tied onto something that you do recognize and you can identify, such as your own wallet or your bag or a ring, a signet ring, and you recognize that, and you can actually prove that's yours. Or you found it in your own home. You know, you had lost it at home, and there it was, mitzo'o ben kelav. You found it in the drawer where the drawer was open, where you had your pens or something. So then obviously it didn't get there from someone else. That would be okay. I feel it's man meruba, and it would be kosher without any kind of problems. Now, as far as the psak is concerned, itma. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, halacha is that the definition of la'alter, to give back a get, is that no one else has stayed over there in that place where the get was finally found. Rabba Barachanam, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel says, the halacha is that nobody even passed by there. Shlo avar adam sham. Now, I mean, why didn't they just quote who said it? No? I mean, lema mar halacha kamar. I mean, why can't you say the halacha is like the Yesh Omrim, or the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Why did you say the whole thing as if you're making it up and you never heard it before? Answers the Gemara, because people are afche, mishum da afche lohu. We know that there were some that quoted Rav Shimon ben Elazar as the Yesh Omrim, and some who quoted the Yesh Omrim as Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So because of that, we needed to make it clear, what are we talking about? Is it Shlosha Adam Sham? Is it Shlo Avar Adam Sham? Then we said, if it would be found in, this is in the Mishnah itself, not in the Braisa, if it was found in a Chafisa or the Luskema, and that you recognize, that you can rely on. What exactly is a Chafisa and what is a Gluskema? So my Chafisa, Omer Rabba Bar Chana, it's a Chemat Kitana. It's basically a small kind of skin that you use usually, obviously, for wine. And here you were using it as a little package for your telephone, your passport, and so on. So you had to get in there. And what's a deluskema? A deluskema is a tlika de sabi. You know those old people, they walk around all the time with these big old-fashioned briefcases, these leather briefcases, you know. And nobody who's any younger than 50 would be caught dead with one of those things. Those are called a deluskema of a tlika de sabi. And no, it's not one of those beautiful Yves Saint Laurent kind of bags. No, it's a good old-fashioned Tlica de Save, which is called a tasca, which is a tisket, a tasket, an old man's basket. So it's easy to remember, and even Barnea approves, so that would be fine. Anyway, so we've learned some very important dinim. The difference between the various levels of chashash, is it the same document? If it is the same document, is it still a valid document? Is it the same document and it fell from the person that I'm allowed to return it to? And I have to take all of that into consideration. And then in order to establish if it's the same document, we need to talk about what type of issues might establish that. A simen biyama, a simen muvak, a tvias ayin, or the very fact that it's in the same place and no one has passed by, or in the same place no one has stayed by, or it's in the same place where it's in a personal place, where it's among my own place, my own things. Is it attached to something that I do have a simen on? That would be a reliable simen. And this got us into all kinds of other issues as well, taking into consideration what the possibilities might be, but who might have dropped it, and also the consideration of what allows us to make assumptions, what forces us to be worried that we shouldn't make those assumptions. Up at what point would we have to worry that there's alternatives to the clear-cut identifiers of the name of the person and the name of the woman and the name of the city? How far would we be choshesh, even if there was a chance that someone else might have dropped it? That was the question of whether we also need, in order to be Huchzik Ushnei Yosef and Shema. Then we had the most drastic chashash of all, which was Ravunas Chashinan L'Shnei Shviri. We're even concerned that maybe there's another town of the same name in which there would be someone. And we clarified that we are not concerned for an alternative universe where there might be two witnesses that also have the same name as these witnesses that signed on an alternative universe contract, which therefore means you cannot return it.